Begin the current daf, Masechta Tzvachim, daf Kuf Yutes, the penultimate daf in this Masechta, and the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our Mishnah. The Mishnah described the chronology of the prohibition of the topic of our parak. In the previous parak, that of Shchute and Halah Bachutz, which includes that of not slaughtering by the Bama Gedolah, but rather by a Bama Ketana, by a person's private altar. So the Mishnah described that the Jews in the Midbar had the Mishkan, Bamas were Asuras, then they came to Eretz Yisrael, the 14 years in Gilgal, when then Bamas private altars were permitted, then Mishkan Shiloh when they were forbidden, and then, as we described in the previous stuff, the Mishnah says, they came to Neva Given, two different locations, where that's where the Bama Gedolah was, and in that time period, private altars, Bamas were permitted. So the Gemara says, from where do we know that there was a time of permissibility after that Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed, that then they went back and reverted to people being able to have their own private altars? Says the Gemara, the Tarban, like, learn the Brisa. The pasuk in Devarim says, as we explained this pasuk in previous dafim, when Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Jewish people that when you're going to come to Eretz Yisrael, which was the times of Gilgal, that you're not going to be able to do what we're doing today. Why? So he says, kilei basim, because you didn't come yet ad ata up until now, when you're going to be those 14 years in Gilgal, ela manucha, to the resting place, val nachlan, to the inheritance. What does that mean? What's ela manucha, to the resting place? Zu shili, that's reference to shili. And nachla, what is the inheritance? Zu Yerushalayim. So lama chilken, so why did the pasuk divide the two of them to say that, oh, Gilgal is different. Then you could have bamas, because you didn't come yet to menucha, you didn't come yet to nachla. Why don't you just say till the first one, till menucha, and then bamas are going to be forbidden? Why say menucha, which is shiloi, and Yerushalayim, which was a later time period, which is called nachla? Says the Gemara, could they leak in heter bin zelazer, because to actually give permissibility from between one and the other, because the pasuk is in the context of permitting Bamas at the time when they were coming into Eretz Yisrael, which Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them, you're going to come, you're going to be in Gilgal. Bamas are going to be permitted. And that is what the Pasuk is saying, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, up until when am I telling you, like the Pasuk says, Ish kala yashu be'enav, that everyone could bring whatever they want to, which is their own nedarim and the davas on their own private altar. That's kilebasim at atta, because you didn't come yet to the menucha and the nachla. But not when you come. Now, if there wouldn't have been a time of permissibility between the destruction of Shiloh and then later on when they then built the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, then they should have just said Ela Menucha. And then, from the fact that it says that, so we would know when Shiloh comes, it's forbidden. Why does it also say En Nachla? Obviously, it's coming to tell you because after the time period of Menucha, of Shiloh, when the Shiloh was destroyed, then it went back to its original positioning of being permitted in Bamas, up until then you come up to Nachla, and then it becomes forbidden again when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt in Yerushalayim. Now, however, the Gemara asks on our Mishnah, and there's two different texts how to read in our Gemara. Amalei Rish Lakish Rabbi Yechanan. He asks, according to the text of our Gemara, a general question on the Mishnah. Maaser Sheni Nami Lisni. The laws of the second tithe should also be said in our Mishnah, meaning, just like the halacha was said by Shiloi, that the Maaser Sheni has to be eaten in that area, just like Kachem Kalam has to be eaten in Yerushalayim, which is near the Beis HaMikdash, so too, by Shiloh had to be eaten in the area of Shiloh. So too, why doesn't it say by Neva Givon that also Maaser Sheni, the second tithe, has to be taken up and eaten Lufnei Hashem in the area of where the Bama Gedolah was by Neva Givon? Now, Rashi has a gear, says the Bach has in the words, Ihachi, if that's the case, as if it's continuing what the Gemara just said before. So according to Rashi's text, the Gemara's question is, if that's the case that you're saying that after Shiloh was destroyed, it was a time of permissibility, that then the sanctity left Shiloh, and therefore it was a new status of Neva Given, and that's why people could have their own private altars. So then it should also tell us that then when they were Neva Given, that Maaser Sheni should have to be brought to Neva Given, because all the sanctity was removed from the area of Shiloh. So why doesn't the Mishnah say that you have to eat Maaser Sheni over there in Neva Given? Just like when in time Shiloh is eaten over there, now that it gets transferred to Neva Given, they should eat Maaser Sheni over there. So then Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan said to him, Maaser, no. Regarding the second tithe, Maaser Sheni, Sham Aaron Kiyalfi, I have a Gzereshav of the word Sham, where by Maaser Sheni it says, like in Devarim Yud Beis, V'chaltim Sham, you should eat over there, or also the Pasuk says, V'chalt lefnei Hashem lekecha, b'mokam ha'shayivcha, l'shakin shmei Sham, says two different psukim by eating Maaser Sheni over there. Now, by the Aron, it also says in Sefer Shemayis, V'nesata Sham es Aron, you should put the Aron over there. So what's the Gzer Shava that we learn on Maaser Sheni from the Aron? Is Kivin the Aron Lehava, since in all the days of Neva Given, the Aron HaKadosh, which held the Luchos, was not in Neiva Given proper, as we said this in the previous daf. In those years which we made a calculation, Neiva Given was 20 plus 33 plus 4, which was a total of 57 years. Those years, let's say the first 20 years were in Kiryas Yearim, and then it was transferred for those 33 years in Ir David, and then for the first 4 years of Shlomo HaMelech's reign up until the Beis HaMikdash was built. So the Aron actually wasn't in Neiva Given. So therefore, Maisa Nami Lahavi. So therefore, Maisa Sheni is also not going to be over there. You're right. Actually, they didn't have that halacha for it to be brought over there, because just like the Aron's not there, so too, that's within the Gezer Shava, wherever the Aron is, that's like we find by in the Beis HaMikdash, that Yerushalayim, that Yid Lefnei Hashem Lekecha, where the Aron is, that's where the Maisa Sheni is. But in Neiva Given, there was no Aron, and therefore the Maisa Sheni was not brought to be eaten over there in Neiva Given. Well, that is the Gemara Yachi. If that's the source, then Pesach B'Kachim Nami. Then also the Karban Pesach and all the other sacrifices, the Sham Mi Aron Yafi. That should also have a Gzer Shava, Sham from the Aron. Because by Pesach, another Kachim, it says by them, V'chaltam Sham, that you sheet them over there. So you should say, the Kivin, the Aron Lehava, since the Aron was in Neiva Given in the Nami Lehava, that also Kachim was not there, which was not the case. There was a Bama Gedaila Neiva Given and Kachim were brought over there. But if you say it's from Sham Sham, then what's the difference between Meister Sheni and other Kajim? So Amalei, so that Rabbi Yechanan responds, he says, the Amaloch Mani, he says, that's telling you this, who is this? In other words, the Tan of our Mishnah that's telling you that Meister Sheni was not eaten just in Neiva Given, but in that period of time of Neiva Given, when the Bama Gedel was in those places, that it was eaten in all the Jewish cities, and it was did not have to be brought over there, which is what the Gemara is addressing, that Tana is Reb Shimon Hi. Nama that he says, Av Tzibur Lahi Krivu, because even the public did not bring, he disagrees with all the other Tanoim, as we mentioned this in the previous daf, Ela Pesach V'cheves HaKavu Lemzman, only the Karban Pesach, and different obligations of the Tzibur that had a designated time. Av Cheves Hein Kavu Lemzman, Reb Shimon held, even obligatory Karbanis, that does not have a distinct time, let's say when the whole Jewish people follow an erroneous ruling of the Sanhedrin, Parham Da B'Shal Tzibur, those types of Karbanis, both in the Bama Ketana and the Bama Gedela are not brought. So in Neiva Given, Karbanis like Bechairis, firstborn animals, and Maisa Behema and the tithe of the animals, they're Chayvah She'en Kavu Lehem Zmanhu. Those are types of Karbanis that although they're obligatory, but they don't have a distinct time like the Karban Pesach has been brought in the afternoon of the 14th of Nisan. And as we taught in the previous daf, Reb Shimon Tzuris, for why he holds in Gilgal, that those types of Karbanas were not brought, even though they're Chayvus of the Tzibur. Now, therefore, that's what Reb Yechon is answering. Since Maiser Behema was not applied over there in the non-Mishkan days, when it wasn't in Shiloh or in the Beis HaMikdash, so therefore, there wasn't either the Maiser Sheni, the tithe of the grain, was also not brought over there. Why? Because Ve'iskish Maiser Dag and the Maiser Behema were behekish between the grain tithe and the animal tithe, because the pasuk says in Devarim Perek Yudalad, Aser to Aser. What's the double terminology of giving tithes? The pasuk is talking about two different tithes, as the Gemara says in Mecheres Tamtan Gimel Beis. One's referring to Maaser Behema, one's referring to Maaser Dagon. And since we're saying that it's going like Reb Shimon, who said that in those time periods, like in Gilgal and Neiva Given, there was no halacha of Maaser Behema, because those are Chayvis She'en Kavu L'Mizman, you only were able to bring Chayvis of the Tzibur, on the Bama Gedaila, in the Mishkan, in the Midbar, in that Oil Moed, or in Shiloh, or in the Beis HaMikdash, but in those other time periods when Bama Ketanis were permitted, actually you did not bring even in the Bama Gedaila, even for the Tzibur, Chayvus that did not have a set time. So Maaser Behema was not brought, and since we have a Hekesh to Maaser Dagon, which is the tithe of the second tithe that someone brings up to Yerushalayim to eat over there, or in the times of the, when they were before Yerushalayim, that one would seemingly bring over there, that didn't apply to have to eat another given, therefore they could eat a Bechal or Yisrael. Now that the Gemara asks, fine, so you're explaining the question by answering that it's going like Reb Shimon. Machalal Reb Yehuda Karv, so the inference is that, according to Reb Yehuda, you want to say that actually Maaser Sheni had to be eaten in Neiva Given and not like our Mishnah says B'chol Ari Yisrael, because you're saying that's only going like Reb Shimon. So the Gemara, and yes. The Omer of Adabar Masna, like he said, that Maaser Sheni and Maaser Behema, he said that the second tithe and the animal tithe, Nechalam but Neiva Given, the Divrei Reb Yehuda, that Reb Yehuda required that they had to actually have been eaten by those cities of Neiva Given where the Bama Gedaila was. Now, on that, the Gemara, however, asked, but Vabayi Bira. The Pasuk says that it has to be Lefnei Hashem Lekecha, which seemingly that is wherever the Aron is, which is the terminology that the Gemara is bringing up, the Bira, which is the edifice, the structure of the Mishkan, but it refers to the Aron. And Neiva Given, like we said, the Aron wasn't there. So how actually did these halachas apply, according to Reb Yehuda, that they have to have been eaten Lefnei Hashem Lekecha if there was no Aron? And that says the Gemara, no. V'lav ten Rabbi Yisib, didn't Rabbi Yisib teach a braisa that says shalish biroisin? There were three birois, three mishkans. There was Shiloi, the Neiva given, which they counted as one, Beis Olam, and the everlasting structure that of the Beis Hamikdash, which as the Gemara says, Hu Tanula, Rabbi Yisib had taught that braisa, V'amal, and he explained what that means. L'achilas Meiser Sheni, it's in reference to the consumption of Meiser Sheni, but leave it to Rabbi Yisib, Behuda, where, no, you're right, Neiva given, in a sense, wasn't the Bira, because there was no Aron Kodesh over there, but it was considered one of the three Biras, in the sense of like Rabbi Yehuda, where it was still, they had the halacha of Lefnei Hashem Lekechem to eat the Maaseh Sheni over there, and therefore we see that, yeah, the our Mishnah was specifically like Rabbi Shimon, and that's why Maaseh Sheni was eaten in B'chol Malkim, but you're right, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would have had to be eaten in Neiva given proper. Now the Mishnah continued, it said, Boi L'Yerushalayim. Then they came to Yerushalayim, built the Beis HaMikdash, and from that point on, Bamis, private altars were forbidden for the Jewish people. Now, as the source for that is, because the Pasuk says, because in Gilgal you're allowed to, because you didn't yet reach Ela Menucha Vela Nachla. Menucha, like we said, refers to Shiloh, and Nachla refers to Yerushalayim. Now, actually, Turnbull and Linda Bryce is actually Machloik is how to interpret that Pasuk. The first opinion, like we said in the Mishnah, it says, Kile Bosim Adata, because up until now you haven't yet come, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them when you enter Eretz Yisrael, the first word in years in Gilgal, that you're allowed to have private altars, because you haven't yet come Ela Menucha Vela Nachla, to the resting place and to the inheritance. Menucha Zu Shiloh, the resting place refers to Shiloh, and Nachla Zu Yerushalayim, the inheritance refers to Yerushalayim. And how do we know that? Because Vayim, like the Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, it says, Haisali Nachalasi, my inheritance was for me, which is referring to Yerushalayim, Ka'argi Biyar, like a lion in the forest. And how do we know that? Because Vayim, it says after that, Ha'ayit Savua Nachalasi Li is my inheritance for me like a colored bird? Ha'ayitzav allowed that all the birds should surround it, which is refers to Yerushalayim. Div Rabbi Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Shimon, he says the opposite. He says, no, Menucha zu Yerushalayim. The resting place is Yerushalayim. And Nachla zu Shiloh, and the inheritance refers to Shiloh. And how do you know that? Because he said, V'alayim, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, referring to Yerushalayim, Zeis Menuchasi Adi Ad. This is my resting place forever. Payeshiv, here I'm going to dwell. Ki Yivaseu, because I have desired it. And Boim, like the Pasuk says before that, Ki Vachar Hashem Betzin, because Hashem has chosen Tzin, referring to Yerushalayim, Iva L'Moshevla, he desired to settle over there, so you see the Menucha refers to Yerushalayim. So now the Gemara asked, Bishlam L'Mandam Menucha Zushiloi, we could understand according to the Tana of our Mishnah and the Tana Rabbi Huda, who says the resting place is Shiloi, Haim Duchsev Ala Menucha Manachla, so we can understand the order, the chronology that the Pasuk puts it in, because you haven't yet come to Menucha, which is first, and Nachla, which is afterwards. But according to the second Tanam, Rabbi Shimon, who says that the resting place is Yerushalayim, and Nachla is Shiloh, and the inheritance is Shiloh, it's the opposite order. So it should have said it in the other way, because you haven't yet come to Nachla, which is Shiloh, and to Menucha, which is Yerushalayim. That says the Gemara Nehochkam. According to him, what the Pasuk is saying is that Loi Mibayim Menucha Delimitisu, it's going in the order of saying that why you're allowed to go ahead and have Bamis. In the 14 years of Gilgilat Babas, because you haven't yet come to, not only have you not yet come to Menucha, which is Yerushalayim, Elafila, the Pasuk is saying, even, Elafila Nachla, number, let me teach you that even to the Nachla, which is Shili, even that you haven't yet come, and that's why you love the Babas, but you're right, if you reach any one of them, then you're not going to be able to have Babas anymore. So those are two opinions. Gemara continues, Tanya Rabbi Shmuel was taught in the Braisa of Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel that actually Zuvizu Shili, both the term Menucha and Nachla refer to Shili. Now, but Rashi explains, even so, he would hold that there was a time of permissibility after Shiloh was destroyed when they were never given. Why? Because he holds that the first sanctities that the areas of Kedusha had were only for that time period, but wasn't for the future. Because even regarding to Yerushalayim itself, the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel is that after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, they are actually permitted to go ahead and make private altars, like the Gemara says in Megillah, Yirmid Aleph, that I heard that they are sacrificing in Beis Chonyai, which is out of Yerushalayim, in today's times. And the Gemara says, because that was going like Rabbi Shmuel, who holds that private altars are permitted, that the Kedush Rishon was only L'shaita, but not L'Asalavai. So although he says both Pesukim are for Shiloh, it doesn't mean that because that was the end. Because even after Yerushalayim, he holds that it was permitted. Now, Rabbi Shimon ben Yoichi, I mean, he says actually, Zubazu Yerushalayim. That actually, no, both terminologies referring to Yerushalayim. And actually, up until the Beis HaMikdash was built, even during the time period of Shiloh, Bamis, private altars were not forbidden. So now the Gemara asks, Bishlam l'mandam menucha zu, as we continue to base, we could understand according to the pin who says that menucha is Shiloh and nachla zu Yerushalayim, like we said, the Tana of our Mishnah, or inami ipcha, or the other one, that says that the menucha his Yerushalayim and Achle Shiloi. Behind the Chsev, so we could understand those are two different places. So it says El Hamanucha ve'El Anachla, because they're two different places. But El Mam Da'am Zuv Shiloi. But according to the one that says they're both are Shiloi, or Oy Zuv Zuv Yerushalayim or both are Yerushalayim, Menuchla Nachla Mibayle. Should have said, because you haven't yet come to Menuchla and Nachla. Why does it say El Hamanucha ve'El Anachla as if they're two different places? The Gemara Kashi, according to that, those two opinions, it's difficult why I say the term El if it's referring to the same place. But the Gemara continues asking. It says, Bishlam al-Mandam azubazub shila. According to the one who says that both terminologies refer to shila, we could understand why those words refer to shila. When it says Menucha, that shila was the resting place, because in Nachum Mikibush, they rested from conquering because the first 14 years in Gilgal, they were busy conquering and dividing. So when they finally came to shila, which was right after, so they were resting from the conquering. And Nachla, the inheritance, is because the Palgo Hasam Nachla, because that's when they divided the inheritance, meaning it was the end of the division. That's when they had finally finalized the division when they came into Shiloh. The Sivak, it says in the Pasuk in Yeshua, as we find, it says, Ve'yichalklem Yeshua, that Yeshua divided for them, Ve'yapalem Gerul b'Shiloh, and he made for them a lottery in Shiloh, Al-Pi Hashem, which actually, as the Maseres HaShas brings on the side, the proper text of the Pasuk is actually, Ve'yashlachayem lem Yeshua Gerul b'Shiloh v'Nei Hashem. But the idea is that we see that in Shiloh is where there was the Nachla, the inheritance. But according to one who says that actually both are referring to Yerushalayim, so Bishlam and Nachla, we could understand the terminology of inheritance, is because Nachla Salam, that's the eternal inheritance, is Yerushalayim, where the divine presence is going to rest. But El Menucho, but calling it the resting place, my Menucho, why is Yerushalayim the resting place? It says the Gemara, Menuchas Aron means the resting place of the Ark. Chassid like says in the Pasuk, but he can know Aron that it was when the Ark finally rested, which Rashi says, I searched, I didn't find such a Pasuk in all the writings. But there is a similar pasuk in Divrei Yamim, Beis, Perek Vav, that by Shlomo HaMelech, that he says, Kuma Hashem Elokim Lunuchacha, go get up Hashem for your resting place, Atavar Nuzacha. So you see ultimately that finally when the Yerushalayim was finally, the Beis HaMikdash was built over there, that it was finally able to rest there and stay there forever. That's why Yerushalayim is called Menucha. The Gemara continues asking, Bishlam Elamandam Azub Azub Yerushalayim, you can understand according to the one who says that both terminologies is referring to Yerushalayim. Avashiloi Havashari Bamas, that actually, but during the period of 369 years they were in Shiloi, private altars were actually permitted. So, we can understand what it says in Sefer Shaiftim, V'yikach Menoyach Eskedio Izim Vesa Mincha, that Menoyach took the kid goat and the flower offering, V'yal Alatrol Hashem, and he sacrificed it up on the rock for Hashem. Now, and he was during the times of Shiloi, because Shiloi was not destroyed until Eli died, which was later than that. So, he was during the time of Shiloi, and he made a private altar. According to one that says that both are referring to Shiloi, Ubamis have a Syrian and their private altars were forbidden in the time of Shiloi. So, what does it mean that he took this and he offered a sacrifice on a rock out of the Bama Gedela if private altars were forbidden then? Says the Gemara Harosha, so you have to say that that was a temporary permission which was told for him to do, but you're right, generally Bamas were forbidden during the times of Shiloi. Now, the Gemara says that Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel, that there was a brayso that was found in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel that was teaching Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, meaning that the students of Rabbi Shmuel were actually teaching like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. The Amaz Zuba Zuba Yushlam that says that actually, not like Rabbi Shmuel, who says both referring to Shiloh, but actually like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai that says both referring to Yushalayim. And B'samonech and the mnemonic to remember that the students of Rabbi Shmuel were actually teaching not like the Rebbe Rabbi Shmuel, but rather like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, is Mashchei Gavro LeGavri. That Reb Shimon, who was an individual, a Gavra, drew the students of Reb Shmuel, who were Gavre, were plural, were people, to forsake the teaching of their teacher, who says Ziv is Ashila, and to teach like him, which was that Ziv Zu are referring to Yerushalayim. Now the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of a Mishnah that says Kol HaKachem Mechulu, which the Gemara comes to clarify a teaching in our Mishnah. Amrav Kani says, Leishon, we didn't learn this, what we said in our Mishnah, that regarding karbanis that were sanctified at a time when bamis were permitted. We explained that if a given, there was a certain time period that private altars were permitted. But then by the time he came to sacrifice it, Shiloh was built, or the Beis HaMikdash was built, and then bamis already forbidden. So the Mishnah said that since it was sanctified at a time when bamis were permitted, although now it's being sacrificed when it's forbidden, although it's going to be forbidden, but there's not going to be a punishment of karis, which generally is for sacrificing bachutz out of the area. So that's Rav Kahana. We didn't learn that teaching Ela B'Shchita, only regards to slaughtering, as the Braisa taught in Perek HaSheicha and Daf Kavav Mabez, that you would think that you'd be liable Karis for doing it on the outside, as opposed to teaches Zeis Lahem, which we had taught that those Pesukim are referring to specifically that it was sanctified when bamas were permitted and then sacrificed when they're forbidden, that this is for them, which the pasuk there only mentions in Asay and Alaysa say, but in Achereslam there's nothing else, meaning the punishment of Karis does not apply to that element. But that's only in regards to slaughter. Ava ba'alob, it says Rav Kahn, but regarding sacrificing, Karis nam mechayiv, you actually, a person would be liable, even if it was niskadish in the time of permitted bamas, if it's being burnt in the time of when it's forbidden, that one would get the punishment of Karis of dying at a young age too. Says Gemara, my time. What's the reason? Because the Amakra, the pasuk says the Meyikram, when it talks about the penalty of sacrificing bachutz, the halah, it says valeim timer, and to them you should say. Now that pasuk of halah is right after the pasuk that refers to slaughtering kachim, which was sanctified at a time when bamas were permitted, but then being slaughtered when they were already forbidden, which it says valeiz bechuait. Which we had explained, that refers to that type of special situation when it was niskadish hetabamas and slaughtered but beistrabamas. And to that it says, v'aleim timer, which the reading is, not aleim with aleph, but al hasmuchim timer, that it should be said on them, meaning on that which was said right near, meaning this that it says right after that halacha of when it was niskadish when bamas are permitted, but then being done when bamas are forbidden. Right after that parasha, it talks about halah. In halah's parasha, it says karis. And it's saying valeim toime. And all that, which we just said before, which is that even if we're sanctified when bamas are permitted, but now it's being done when bamas are forbidden, in regards to halah, it's going to have all its halachas, which is getting karis. So therefore, it's different than shechita. But maskev l'rabba, Rabba asked on that interpretation, he says, miksev valeim toime, does it say alim with an ayin, which would mean on them, you should say, meaning on what was said before? Aleim ksiv va'aleim kriin. It's said with an aleph, which means to them, you should say, not on them. And therefore, you can't say that it's referring to what was said before. Voi, moreover, he says, Tanya, look in the Brisa, it clearly contradicts what Rav Kahn is saying. Brisa says, Arba klal is hayyab shimon oime b'kachim. There was four categories that Shimon said regarding to kachim in regards to halachas abamas. Hekdeshim mishas isra abamas. If we're sanctified when bamas were forbidden. And mishachet fehelo b'shas isa bamas b'chutz, and it was slaughtered or sacrificed at a time when bamas were forbidden, and he does it outside the area of the courtyard. So harehin ba'aseh v'loisaseh. So one is violating a positive commandment, as we explained this in the previous daf, and a negative commandment. And v'yesh ben karas, and there's also punishment of karas. Now hekdeshin b'shas heter abamas. Let's say we sanctified when bamas were permitted, and then mishachet fehelo, and then whether that same person slaughtered and sacrificed, or one person slaughtered and a different person sacrificed, at and they did this b'shas isra bamas, so although it was sanctified when it was permitted, but they ended up doing the avoda when bamas are forbidden, and they do it b'chutz, on the private altar. Harehin ba'aseh b'leisaseh, so they're going to be violating a positive commandment and a negative commandment. But ve'ein behen karis, there is no karis. So you see clearly, not like Rav Kahana, that even regarding halah, if it was niskadish at a time of heter bamas, even though it's being sacrificed b'shas isra bamas, that is not going to be a punishment of karis. But continues the b'raisa for the third and fourth categories. Hekdeshin b'shas isra bamas. If we're sanctified at a time when bamas were forbidden, v'shachet v'hela b'chutz b'shas heta bamas. But by the time they did the avoda, bamas were actually already permitted. Let's say after shila was destroyed, saharein ba'aseh. But still, one's violating a positive commandment. As we explained this in the previous daf, because he didn't fulfill it at a time when he could have to bring it in the area of the bama gedayla before the bamas became permitted. At that time, he's violated the positive commandment having brought it. But ve'im b'leisa say, but there's no negative prohibition because right now when he's doing the avoda, bamas are actually permitted. And the fourth klal, hekdeshin b'shas heta bamas, if we're sanctified at a time when private altars were permitted, v'shachet v'hela b'shas heta bamas, and then it was sacrificed, or slaughtered or sacrificed at a time when bamas are permitted, so then patam akum, then a person's totally exempt, there's no problem, because it was always bamas were permitted. But one thing says the Gemara, so you have to drev kahana, so you have to have refute drev kahana, because clearly that second category said, of this case of being sanctified b'shas heta bamas, and then the avoda being done b'shas issa bamas, that there's no karas, includes even halah, not like drev kahana. Now the Mishnah continued and said that ve'elu kachim, that v'chulu etc., which the Mishnah then went into the divisions between the bama gedayla and the bama ketana, that there are a list of halachas that only apply to the public altar, but don't apply to the private one. So that the Gemara explains the whole list. Smicha, this that we said that there's an obligation of leaning on the carbon, which the Mishnah said, as all those that we're going to explain right now, apply only by bama gedayla and not by bama ketana. How do we know that? Because the pasuk says in the Yikra, it says, L'tzoynoi lefnei Hashem, that it should be done in front of Hashem. And right after that, the pasuk says, "V'samach," that he should lean his hand. So you see that smicha is only lufnei Hashem, which is by the Bama Gedaila and not by Bama Ketan. Shchidus Tzafin, the slaughtering has to be done in the north. So the pasuk in Be'yikra says, "Tzafin lufnei Hashem," which tells you that the halach of Tzafin is only in front of Hashem and not by a Bama, by a private altar, as the Bryce and Teres Kanam explains this. Matanis Saviv, the obligation of having the gifts of the carbon being all around on all four sides of the Mizbeach, like it says in the pasuk, and the gear says bizarku, and they should spray the blood ala mizbeach saviv, on mizbeach all around. And it's from this pasuk that we learn out the halacha of matan saviv, of it being on all four sides in ezim ukaim daf and gimlam beis, which the end of the pasuk says asher pesach oil ma'id. So the halacha is only by the pesach oil ma'id and not by a private altar. Tnuf dechziv, regarding the elevation of the carbon that has to be picked up, says in the pasuk behein nefakoyin lefnei Hashem, that the kohen lifts it up in front of Hashem, again, which is only by the Bama Gedaila and not by a private altar. Hagashah dechziv, regarding bringing it near, the pasuk says v'gisha al mizbeach, that should be brought to the mizbeach, which actually Rashi says that the girsa should be. How do we know hagashah? Because it says in Meyukar Vav, harkev oisel lefnei Hashem, bring it near only in front of Hashem, which is actually from that pasuk. They will learn that, as the Gemara says in Saita and the Menachas, and actually in our Sugyas also in Perikachi Kachim of Samach Gimel Mabez, that it's referring to the Hagasha Bekaren Marabas Duraimis to the southwest corner, and that says clearly that that's Lefnei Hashem, and that's referring to Hagasha, and therefore doesn't apply to a private altar. Now, Rabbi Huda Aimer, because that refers to the last case that we just said, Hagasha is halacha referring to the mincha, and the Mishnah is differentiating, says there's no Hagasha by a private altar. On that, Rabbi Huda says, Ein mincha b'bama, there is no flower offering at all by a bama to say there's no Hagasha. On that, Rav Sheshes, he comments, he says, L'divri Aimer yesh mincha b'bama, according to the Tanakamo, who holds that there was a flower offering by a private altar, then also yesh eifes b'bama, then there were also bird karbanis by a private altar. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that there was no flower offering by a private altar, then in Eifes Bebama, then there also were no bird karbanis by a private altar. Why? Because the pasuk says Zvachim. What did this pasuk in Beyikra Yudzayin pasuk Hey? It says Lamana Sheyaviyu Bnei Yisrael Esevcheim Hashem Zayvchem. It says the terminology of Zvachim, that the Jewish people should bring their karbanis, which they slaughtered al Pnei Asada, out in the open, that they should bring it to Hashem, El Pesach, El Mayit, to the Kain, and then they'll sacrifice Zivchei Shlam La Hashem Oisam, that it should be brought inside and not outside in the private altars. Now, the Gemara in Daf Kav Mebeis explains this pasuk that specifically talking about the kachim that was sanctified at a time when bamas were permitted, and then it segues into saying, oh, but now that it's forbidden, it's forbidden. But it says within the pasuk the terminology Oisam, them, which is exclusionary term, which is saying, those things which were permitted by Bamas, now it's forbidden. But what was permitted on altars? Only Aysam, those that are mentioned in the Pasuk. What does it mention in the Pasuk? Zvachim is the terminology that the Pasuk uses to tell you, v'lei menachas, the flower offerings were never permitted on private altars. And Zvachim is the same terminology would then tell you that it's only animal karbanis which are slaughtered and not on bird karbanis which are not done through slaughter. Now the Gemara continues the list of the Mishnah. The Kayin, this said the avodah has to be done by a Kayin, by the Bama Gedoil, but not by Bama Ketana, because the Chesed of the Pasuk says, V'zarek HaKayin, that the Kayin throws the blood on Mizbeach Hashem Pesach Oyel Mayid, like it says in Mikra Yudzayin, which the Bryce expounds in Teres Kayin when it talks about the Parashah Shechuti Chutz, that it says that the throwing of the Kayin of the blood is Pesach Oyel Mayid, but the throwing of the blood of the Kayin does not apply by the Bama, which is not Lefnei Oyel Mayid, and therefore it could even be non-kohanim, even slaves, that could do the avodah by a private altar. Big Day Sharis, that the avodah has to be done with the service garments, the Big Day Kuna, because it says in the pasuk L'Sharis B'Kodesh, that they should serve in the holy area, which is only by the Bama Gedaila, does not apply by the Bama Ketana, which was wherever a person was. The Klei Sharis that has to be done with the service vessels is also because the pasuk says Asher Yesharisu Bama Kodesh, that they should serve with them in the holy area, which is referring to the Mishkan, in contrast to Bama Ketana, that did not have that halacha. L'reich nechayach, the fact that it had to be a pleasant aroma is only by the Bama Gedaila. So like it says in the Pasuk, L'reich nechayach, L'Hashem, which is also there in that Pasuk, and it's telling you, should be L'Hashem or Pasach HaMoed, it had to be by the Mishkan. Mechitza b'damim, this that there had to be clear demarcation between the different halves, the upper half and the bottom half of the Mizbeach, which certain karbanis and bloods had to be on the top half and certain on the bottom, that only applied by the Bama Gedaila and not by Bama Ketana. So like it says in the Pasuk, V'hisa ha'resha satchatzia Mizbeach, that the netting, which was on some part of the upper part of the Mizbeach, went up until the midpoint of the altar, which is from here we learn out the halacha of the separation of the bloods. As the Gemara says, Nezim Mekoyim Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. And it says in the Pasuk, HaMizbech, the altar, which is the excluding terminology, to tell you only in that Mizbech that the Pasuk is talking about, which is the Mizbech of the Mishkan, but the Mizbech of a private altar, that halacha of the separation of the bloods do not apply. Richat Tidayim, the obligation of washing the hands and feet, that's only by Bama Gedayla, the subject says in the Pasuk, Uvikarvasim El HaMizbech Yerchatsu, that when they come close to the altar, they shall wash their hands and feet, which again, the altar is referring to that in the Mishkan, and not the one of the private altar. Now, Amiram Bachama, he says, and there's two different texts. We have the one in our Gemara, and then we have the one which was Rashi's text, which is brought on the side in Maseres Tashas. We'll first read our text, and we'll read Rashi's version. Rambam says, Lo Yishanu, we didn't learn this halacha that we just described earlier, that regarding that there's no halacha of mechitz bedam. We said by Bama Ketana, there's no separation of bloods, meaning there's not that you have to have certain karbanos on the top and certain on the top. Wherever you throw the blood is okay. That was only said Ele Bekadje Bama Ketana, regarding those which are kachim, which was sanctified to be brought on the private altar, Ve'kriven Bama Ketana, and it was actually sacrificed at the end at the private altar. But let's say regarding kachim, which were designated and sanctified for a private altar, but the karvinu b'bamagidel, but then was sacrificed by the public altar, then yeshchitza, then it does have the division of bloods, because ultimately that altar is the public one, which has divisions, which has mechitza, and therefore even this carbon would have to be designated which half it's thrown up. And then we said Rabba asked, however, from the following brisa. The brisa says, chazav sheik, regarding the elevations of certain karbanis, that the thigh and the breast are given to the kanim, and trumas lachmi taida, and the separation of the four types of breads of the karban taida, that they're given to the kanim, says the brisa, noigin b'kachei b'magadila, that only applies by the karbanis, those which are sanctified for the public altar. But ve'ein noigin b'kachei b'magadila, but it does not apply to the, and the primary word over here that the rabbi is asking from is the word kachei, and it doesn't apply to those which were kachim that were sanctified by the Bama Ketana, which sounds like that these halachas of the Bama Ketana do not apply in any situation by the kachim Bama Ketana, which here it's talking about one context, but if something would apply to the halacha mechitza bedamim, that it wouldn't apply even if it's being brought by the Bama Gedayla, because they're kachim Bama Ketana, which that contradicts what Rambam Bacham is saying. And that says, no, say not to have the gears of kachim. Noigin b'bama gedayla. They apply by b'bama gedayla, no matter what type they are, even if they're kajay b'bama ketana. And the ain't noigin b'bama ketana, they did not apply when it's actually done by the b'bama ketana. So therefore, that's like what Rambam Bacham said, where even kajay b'bama ketana, if they're brought by b'bama gedayla, it would require the halachas of the b'bama gedayla, which, in regards to Rambam Bacham, means to say you would have to have the mechitza of the dam. That's one version. Ikadami, that those who say a different version. The Amr Rabban Bacham, he said, Loishan, we didn't learn that there is a halacha of separation of the bloods by the Bama Gedayla. That's Ele B'kachim Bama Gedayla. That's only regarding kachim that was sanctified to be brought at a public altar. V'kriven B'bama Gedayla, it was actually sacrificed by the public altar. A B'kachim Bama Gedayla, but regarding kachim that was sanctified for a private altar. Afal Gavdri Karvina B'bama Gedayla, this version says that even if it was sacrificed by the public altar, no, that there ain't chitzu, that although it's being done by a public altar, but since it was sanctified for a private altar, it's not going to have the halacha of the separation of the bloods. According to this version, says the Gemara, Le'misayeli, let's support him from that brisa. The brisa says, Chaz v'shayik, the gifts of the separation of the thigh and the breast, the trumas lachmei taida, and the gifts of the bread of the that come with the carbon taida, noigin b'kachi bama gedayla, applies by this by the sanctified carbonis, which is sanctified for the bama gedayla, ve'ein noigin b'kachi bama gedayla, and does not apply by the kachi bama gedayla. So what do you see? That the primary halacha is regarding what type of kachim it is. That's like Rami Bachama, who he said that this, that we say that kachi bama gedayla are going to have the halacha of chitzi dam, is only if it was sacrificed by bama gedayla. But if you have kachi bama ketana, even though you sacrifice him by bama gedayla, it's not going to have the law of chitzi, because it's not noig b'kachi bama ketana. That's the Gemara Eman, no, it's not a raya. You could be gairis noigin b'bama gedayla. It applies by the bama gedayla. They noigin b'bama ketana. And does not apply by the private altar, and therefore there's no raya to saying like this version of Rambam Bachama. You could say that actually, even kachi b'bama ketana, if it is sacrificed b'bama gedayla, then it would be noig, because it's noig b'bama gedayla, no matter what kachim it actually is. Now that's the version of our Gemara. But the Maseres Tashas brings down the girsa of Rashi, which goes through two different versions. The first version is like one of our versions, but the second one is a totally different version. And that says, Rambam Bachama says, Lo Yishanu, we didn't learn that there is which like the second version of our Rambam in this Rashi's text is the first version, that there is a halacha of mechitza, of the separation of bloods by Bama Gedayla. We didn't learn that Ela B'Kachim Bama Gedayla. If they were kachim that was sanctified for a public altar, and v'kriva by Bama Gedayla, and was actually sacrificed by Bama Gedayla. So it was sanctified for it, and it was sacrificed over there. But it was sanctified to be brought in a private altar, and the Karvina Babama Gedalim was actually sacrificed by a public altar, that Ein Chitzu, that there the halacha of separation of blood would not apply, and therefore if someone would come to bring a Karban Ayla on the upper half of the Mizbeach, he would be able to do it, because it's not the Kachi Babama Gedalim, it's Kachi Babama Gedalim. That must have Rabba asked from the Braisa. Says Chaz v'Shoig v'Trumas Lach Mitayda Noigin, they apply Babama Gedalim, they apply by a public altar. They nagin babama gitana, and they do not apply by a private altar. Now, the reason why it doesn't apply by a private altar, because the pasuk says, tnufa l'Hashem. These elevations have to be in front of Hashem. But one thing we see from the Braisa is that it does apply by bama gedayla, no matter what the situation is, even if they're kachi bama gitana. So therefore, the same thing would apply by all halachas, including chitzi damim, that by bama gedayla would apply, even kachi bama gitana, which is not like the way Rambam Bochamad said. And that says, no, Ema say, the girsa of the Braisa should be, Neigen Bekadje Bama Gedayla. This is reversing it. That the girsa should be, no, that it applies by the sanctified karbanis that were sanctified for Bama Gedayla. They Neigen Bekadje Bama Gedayla. It does not apply by the kachim which was sanctified for Bama Gedayla, which that's like Rabbi Muhammad's version. That depends what type of kachim it is, that Kadje Bama Gedayla, even though it's sacrificed for Bama Gedayla, it's not going to have chitza because it depends on what type of kachim it is, but not actually where it's sacrificed. That's one version. Igdami, those say a different version. The Amram Machami says, Loishan, we didn't learn that there is the halacha of separation of the bloods by the Bama Gedayla, Ela Bizman Bama Gedayla. Only at a time when there only was a public altar. Al Bizman Bama Gedayla, but at a time when there were private altars, in other words, at a time when Bamas were actually permitted, then says Rambam Machami in this version, that there's actually no difference between what was sacrificed on the Bama Gedayla and the Bama Gedayla. That avagav de karvina babama gedayla, that even if something is sacrificed at a public altar, meaning even kachim that was sanctified for the babama gedayla, and it's being sacrificed at babama gedayla, ein chitzi, there's not going to be separation of bloods, because since these are the same type of karbanos that can be brought at a private altar, and there's no chitzi b'dam, then even these which are sanctified for the babama gedayla and being brought at babama gedayla, it's not going to have halacha of chitzi b'dam. That must have Rabba asked from the Braisa. Says Chaz v'Shoig v'Trumas Lach Mitayda Neigim b'Bama Gedayla. It applies by the Bama Gedayla. Then Neigim b'Bama Gedayla does not apply by the Bama Gedayla. So you see, it does apply by Bama Gedayla, especially here in this case where it was Kachi Bama Gedayla and being sacrificed Bama Gedayla. That Ema says the Gemara. No, say Neigim b'Zman Gedayla. It applies at a time when there's only Bama Gedayla. Then Neigim b'Zman Gedayla, but does not apply at a time when there's only a Bama Gedayla, and therefore it's not a difficulty in Rambam Chama. It's actually, even Bama Gedayla, for Bama Gedayla is going to be without Chitza Dam, because only at a time when there's only Bama Gedayla. A plegat Rebbe Lazar, that this disagrees with the halacha of Rebbe Lazar. Dam Rebbe Lazar, that Rebbe Lazar said, Eilas Bamas Yachid, regarding the carbon Eila that was brought for by a private altar, Shech Nisa Befnim, which as Rashi explains, means to say that after it was slaughtered outside by the private altar, then it was brought inside. Oh, once it was brought inside, then therefore then the area of the Azara, the walls, now captured it for all halachic purposes regarding that. So we see by Rebbe Lazar that even kachim that were slaughtered in the private altar, but then it was sacrificed by the public altar, that all the laws of Bama Gedayla applied to it, and therefore we learn from there also in disagreement, where according to Rashi, actually, according to his version, is disagreeing on both versions of Rambam Chama. And the way we said in our Gemara, it's disagreeing on the last version of Rambam Chama, that at a time of Heter Bama, it doesn't make a difference. It didn't change the halachas of a Bama Gedayla whatsoever. And even the Kachi Bama Gedayla, if it's brought to the Bama Gedayla, even after it was slaughtered, it takes on the laws of the Bama Gedayla. And therefore, it's obviously not like in our text, the last version of Rambam Chama, which was saying that the Kachi Bama Gedayla that's brought to the Bama Gedayla does not have those halachas of Mechitza B'damim. According to Rebbe Lazar, this is clearly, no matter when it comes in, if it comes in, the walls now take it and it takes on the laws of what's being done in the Azara, which are the halachas of the Bama Gedayla, that would have to have, like in our context, the Mechitza B'damim, separation of the bloods on the top and the bottom.